Loose upstairs and stand in the way of vulcanized rubber being fired at him. Welcome to the Sauce and Biscuits podcast, Colton Sauer.
Brett, it's a pleasure being here on the Sauce and Biscuits. It's been a while. We finally were able to align our schedules here with all the COVID and all the other stuff. I'm glad we got together to do it.
Yeah, me too, for sure. Missing is Brad, but hopefully he can jump in here at some point. Going to start off with a nice, easy question for you. You've obviously been playing hockey for a while. What made you become a goalie?
I don't think I actually chose it. I think hockey was just a big part of my life. I started skating at like 2 years old. I started playing on a team when I was three, but it was with a year up so that I could play like the travel team. I was forward there. Like two games into the season, our goalie got injured. We needed a goalie. I kind of threw my hand up and we won the championship that year. And I never really looked back after that. I've always been in the net.
So it's true, a little squirrely then.
Yeah, always. The puck's definitely hitting the head and make you a little bit weird up top.
Yeah. So who was your idol as a kid then, being a goalie?
Probably Patrick Waugh was a big one through the National League and watching stuff on TV. As for one that was a personal influence on me, Ray Emery, rest in peace, Razor. He taught me a lot of goaltending techniques through a goalie school I attended and worked at as a kid, Kineski's goalie school. Those two guys were probably a main influence on my career. And now getting into it now, as I get older, I like Carey Price's style, but there's so many good goalies now in the National League that everybody's got a unique style, and there's a lot of good talent out there.
Yeah, that's for sure. You brought up Ray Emery.
Yeah.
It was sad to see how he went.
Yeah, definitely.
But everybody pro-wise that you hear talk to him, about him, I should say, have nothing but good words to say. So it's nice to hear somebody like you actually come out and
Yeah, no, definitely. Razor was known for a lot of antics on the ice and off the ice. It's made him who he was, I guess, in saying that. Like, I personally know him. I wouldn't have changed a thing. He's a great guy. That's who he was, right? He'd do anything kind of thing.
Definitely an entertainer.
You dare him to do it, he was doing it, right? So, but yeah, it's like I say, rest in peace. He's a great guy.
What do you find is the hardest shot to stop as a goalie? A lot of people think it's the backhand.
To be honest, I don't think I would say one particular shot. I would more go towards the mental side of the game. Being any shot you take, it's going to be hard if you're not mentally prepared. So I wouldn't say any one shot. Obviously, anything offside 1T is going to be very difficult. If I had to pick a type of shot, that's the one I'd want, like a full cross rink 1T to the far circle. Yeah. Is probably the toughest. But yeah, like I said, if you're not mentally prepared, any shot you face is going to be tough.
Well, being a goalie and get a little squirrely and having screws loose, do you have any odd superstitions?
Well, I personally wouldn't classify them as superstitions. Probably some other people would. If I had to say one, I don't know. I dress from the left to the right, so from skates to pads to everything, putting my arms in shoulder pads. That'd be probably the closest to superstition. What's that?
That seems to be the same for everybody.
Yeah, I would just say I'm more of a routine guy. From the morning I wake up, like it's bang, bang, bang routine, same meals. Same workout in the morning, same stretching, same game day prep. But yeah, like I say, I wouldn't say superstitions. I like to more call it routine.
You brought up food. What's your pregame meal?
Honestly, I'm a big salad, chicken Caesar salad guy before the game. My mom started doing me that pretty young. I think I started that at like 10, 11. The outside, I have like a sub or something on the road games where we're jumping on the bus. So I grab a quick sub. But yeah, it's normally a salad and chicken. I like to keep it pretty light before the games.
That's always good. You don't want to have to be thrown up there in between.
Exactly. You know, there's nerves with the position. So, yeah, I've always kept it pretty light. And after I do my job, I usually get out and get a meal or a beer or whatever.
Especially now, right?
Yeah, definitely. Tavik Stock's got a great blue line club. So we always, as the players, try to make it up there a bit and see some of the fans and have a drink with you.
Yeah, so looking at your hockey DB and everything, it starts you out in junior C playing with Dunville. Yep. You actually had 26 games, posting a 789 goals against and a 836 save percentage. What kind of memories do you have from your time there?
They weren't, I don't know if I'd say they were the best memories. It was great being a 16-year-old logging that many starts. Like the 26 games I did dress, I think the ones I didn't, I was probably suspended for something ridiculous. I had a little bit of a temper as a kid. The GAA is awful. Save percentage is subpar. It was a tough team to play on. I think we only picked up one OT loss, so we only picked up 1 point all year. In saying that, like the things I took from playing that team and having to be, you know, thrown into a starting position that young, I think that was the best thing for my career. I learned to have very thin skin, having 70-80 shots a game. You know what I mean? You might get 9 or 10 scored on you, but just the other ones that I kept out.
Hey, you sat rubber?
Yeah, exactly.
See more rubber than all of his net.
Yeah, pretty much.
From there, you moved up to Junior B with Stony Creek. How about your time there? How was that?
Honestly, it's still to this day probably one of the best memories and teams I've been on. The way we meshed in a room, there's a reason we went on that Southern Cup run together. It was a great team, like from the back end out. Two solid goalies all the way up, six solid.
Sarnia made it to the sub.
Yeah, Sarnia was in there. We played. We ended up playing Brantford in the finals. Lost out in five, I believe.
But like I said,
no other team, like even to this day, like Tavistock's getting there. No other teams had this, the chemistry I had that year in 2008, 2009. 2009, 2010, I still re-signed with Stony Creek.
I was just going to get to that. I
wasn't playing great, to be honest. I was injury plagued for the first like 7 games. An OHL kid came down. I think it was Mike Morrison. He came down, and at that point there was 3, and I kind of said, like, listen, I think I'd be better off somewhere else getting the net more. And that kind of led me to Fort Erie. And not the greatest team. I went from like a top 2 or 3 team to a bottom tier team. But in saying that, like my biggest goal was when I returned to play against the Warriors again on Fort Erie that I would take the 2 points. And I did in overtime when I did play them. So loved my time in Stony Creek. Fort Erie was great too. I played a different role there. I was more of a backup. Adrian Volpe was in front of me there. He's a great guy. I learned a lot from him and vice versa. So yeah, between the two, it was my junior B playing days were really good.
Still decently young kid there too. So you have to learn, right?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, Adrian, like we had always grown up as kids, and that was actually our first time getting to play together. And we really thrived off each other, not being on a great team, but there'd be games where we shouldn't even be in it, and we were stealing games, both of us. So
yeah, it comes down to that competitiveness that you two would both have, trying to drive each other to be better.
That's it.
What's your most outstanding memory of Junior B?
Of Junior B? That's Stony Creek first year. I don't think I'll ever have another year of hockey like it. Like, I hope with Tavistock we can somehow muster it up a double A run. Like I said, the single A this year was single A and good, but I don't think anybody in Tavistock was happy going to that lower tier playoff. So
you probably got cut short with this COVID stuff. Let's hope next year's better.
Yeah, I can kind of hear you.
Yeah, hopefully next year is better for you guys.
Well, we built for it this year. And like I say, when you build, there's new bodies coming in and it takes a while to mesh. I don't think too many players are here wanting to go other way. So we'll have to see.
You got some pretty decent names up there, too.
Right? Yeah, we do. So there's Jeff Killing played some all. Who else we got up there? Yeah, Lorenz, Zach Lorenz, Sauter, yeah. Dev Grove.
You got some, some
we got a good young
from down this area.
Yep, yeah. I'm trying to think of the tougher ones. Zilke, we got Matt Zilke. So, we've definitely built a solid team. Gatesy, we brought on this year. He's a Mississauga boy making the drive out to us, and he had a really stellar year. I would say he's probably one of the ones that really succeeded the most. A few of us, myself in that list, weren't great this year. I had a few injuries this year, and just wasn't consistent enough for my liking. And I think that the next year I got to really turn it up here.
Yeah. Okay. So back to your career. After your two seasons in Junior B, you dropped back down to Junior C, and you ended up playing with Dundas. What led to that decision?
Junior was a little bit different back then. Obviously, a little incentive brought me back to Junior C from Junior B. I had a huge part to do with it. Also, that Dundas Blues, where I dropped down to in Junior C, that was my hometown. That's where I was born kind of deal. So that, at the end of the day, that was my goal. And I'd already dressed for Dundas when I was 14. I backed up for them like two games. So that was a big part of wanting to go back and play for them.
Finish your junior off there.
Yeah, exactly. The years I did play in Junior C, it was I was playing out of town kind of deal. I was playing for Dunville. And, I just wanted to get back to the hometown and do it. So we had a decent year.
You aged out from junior. You took 2 years off, and then you joined Welland in the Island Cup, which is Canada's top senior league for some people that don't know.
Yeah.
What made you take that hiatus? Was it injuries? And that?
No. I don't think, honestly, that time when I left, Brett, I don't think it was injuries. I think it was more at that time in my life, I was ready to start a family, get my career underway. And after I'd kind of done that and got my feet wet in my career, I kind of said, oh, you know what, I'm not done in the crease, like I need to get back in it. And that's kind of when I started skating in the Allen Cup League. And I skated with one team and they offered me a two-year contract right then and there. So it was kind of meant to be when I returned there. And like I said, I did have a really good year in Welland, not on the greatest team, but for my first year back in semi-pro, like I did well in my books.
Actually, 718 goals against and an 834 save.
Yep. And so like I say, we both know between you and me, Brett, like I was never a huge numbers guy. Like you're going to get lucky if you see me in the 900s for save percentage. And if I'm under a 3.325, like I'm happy. I'm always a battler. That's how I go by wins. You know what I mean? I don't look at my stats as much. As I was younger in AAA and stuff like that and growing up, like, yeah, I'd be more into the personal stats. But to be honest, like, if I have the win column and the loss column, like, doubling, like, I'm good. Not this year. The prior year, I think I was 8-3-1 or something. So, to me, that's a great year. Like, my numbers, I don't even think my numbers that great. The WOAA, I don't think they do the greatest job stat-wise. I don't think they're super accurate.
It's hard to find
So at the end of the day, like I said, I'm more into the wins and losses, and I've always been a battling goalie, and that's kind of where I go for.
Now, your second year in Dundas, it has you only having one game on record. Did you play one game?
I played one game. It was like I did mop up. It was ugly. I can't remember who it was against. I don't think I was prepared at all. I wasn't. Again, you're playing one game in a year, right?
If you look at this, if you actually look
it's
at
not,
this,
it's not like it's not like it was like a bad team I was going on to. It's a top team. So I can't even remember what was happening. My head probably wasn't all in that game, obviously. Like I say, mental is a huge part of it. Obviously, it wasn't. I don't know really what was going on. I think that kind of was what led into my second hiatus from the to Greece here. I'm pretty sure that was because of I was going through my first divorce there and needed some time away from the game and freshen up and come back kind of deal.
Perfect. That led right into the next question.
I figured that was why I took the next hiatus. Yeah, so like I said, it all leads into like one of your first questions you have for me. Like mental for me as a goaltender is 97% of the game, you know what I mean? So if you're not all there and mentally prepared, like you may as well just be filling water bottles and being there for the boys kind of deal.
You're not getting any younger. Either none of us are. No. How much longer do you see yourself playing?
I don't think any of us really want to put a time frame on leaving the game. As for this year, I had a difficult year battling tons of injuries, performance issues, obviously, consistency. I would really, really, really like to get another championship. Being that it came so close in 2008, 2009 with the Sutherland Cup. For sure, one, possibly two years left, obviously, if I stay healthy, I would say. I want to play to like 32 if everything goes health-wise and performance-wise and Tavistock's happy with what they have.
Yeah, it's got to be nice being able to have your voice in your play, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. And honestly, like, Tavistock's been great to me. Like, the same kind of thing is well and did to me when I took my first hiatus. You know, Tavistock's kind of felt me out how I was feeling coming back. You know, I went right into, like, 12, 13 starts of a 26-game season. So they have trust in me. They have faith in me. I think that they know that I'll bounce back next year twice as hard. So, like I said, one year for sure. If I don't get a cup, I'll probably be back for a second.
Yeah, ultimately got to chase that high that you had earlier in your
career. Exactly. You never feel another one like that. You know what I mean? So, I don't think it's the same. The trophies mean the same by any means, but I think that accomplishment-wise, like, I'd really feel accomplished, especially being the fact, like, I got a few boys, like, I'm sure my sons would all like to see me hoist the cup, so that's kind of important to me, too.
Yeah, it'd be a special moment for them, too, so it'd always be good to have that as a memory, being able to celebrate with them.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember when I was a little bit younger and Sanya won the same run that you guys went on. They won the Weir Cup for the conference.
Yep.
I was helping out with the team then, and I remember going back to celebrate with them after it.
It's the whole town, man, and that's honestly what I say. Like, it starts off as, you know, a top team that wins a championship starts off as just a really close-knit group that'll do anything for anybody, and it goes right into the community. The community rolls in, and it's honestly one of the best feelings you'll have in sport, I feel, when you make those final rounds.
I don't know if you ever got to play down here, because I know back then they were doing the interconference stuff.
We did a few times, I think.
Sarnia was just a rowdy bunch.
I did a couple. I did Sarnia when I was playing for Fort Erie, I believe.
And, yeah.
I think I did a couple, like LaSalle or something out there when I was playing with Stony Creek. But we did, like, the two crossover games.
Yeah.
So it was nice that we got to see those guys. And then
just a rowdy bunch, too.
Now I see a bunch of them now, right, because of the fact that, like, I'm over in the WOAA, which is mostly their loop for junior that come out of it, right? So now I see a lot of them.
Yeah, guys like Scott Stafford.
Yep, Staffy. Me and Staffy played in Dundas together.
I was bringing that up.
He played in Thorold as well, so he's been in a little bit of everywhere, and I've always
played a little bit of pro as well overseas. Played a little pro overseas too.
Yes, he did. Yeah, no, he's had a good career, and like I say, he's playing over in Tillsonburg now. I think they probably, in my books, they had one of the best turnaround years. I think they would have really had a shot at the AA this year.
I actually just got to get in contact with him, and we're going to try to get him on the podcast as well. So
I'm sure Staffy will get on as well. He, like I said, he's a busy guy as well. But when you lock him down, he'll definitely have some good stories. I know that guy. He's been around a few teams now.
Yeah, he's also a big inspiration for you. For the listeners that don't know, he's a He's a hockey player with, how would you say it, one hand?
Yeah. But always playing, he always used to say in the room, you're always playing shorthanded when you're with me. But honestly, yeah,
that's his mentality.
Like
so.
I said, he's missing a hand, but his heart makes up for it. He's like, he's insane hockey player. I can't even fathom how he does it. He's a hell of a
hockey
player.
He's got bad skill.
Yep. So he'll definitely, I know him. He'll definitely be banging it out here. And
yeah, he's committed with us. So.
Well,
any big stories or funny stories from your time playing?
Oh, I got a funny story. I got in training camp. This would have been like 09, 010, the second year going into Stony Creek. I got a slap shot, just a warm-up drill, training camp, and it went directly at my Adam's apple. And it actually indented it. And now my voice changed because of it. But yeah, like I couldn't breathe or anything. It was wild. Like I've never felt anything like that ever in my life. And it's so, so rare. But yeah, like definitely a wake up call. Like, hey, shit happens out there kind of deal. But yeah, that was kind of a freak story. But that's pretty much it I really had on the ice for that.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, yeah, I've been good. I had, not prepared for obviously early training camp. I had a couple orange juice one time, and I was regurgitating that orange juice the whole time that skate. So yeah, there's some funny stories. A lot of it comes from my own doing. But yeah, no. And all in all, like I'm very happy with my career so far. Like I said, I'm reaching for that cup in the last couple of years, and we'll see what I come up with.
Growing up in the GTA, you've always played against some high-level players and some good talent. Who's the toughest guy you've ever faced?
Ooh. I played against Barnaby when I was in the Allen Cup because he played for Dundas when I was on Welland. He's a tough cookie. He never really did any fights in that league. He scored an overtime winner on me actually once in Dundas, which is kind of funny. I don't think he has too many of those. But yeah, no, he would be a tough one. As for growing up, there was actually a kid I played with. He shot both left and right. He had a flat stick. I played with him in minor midget. His name's Buddy Whiteman. He was probably one of the craziest players I've ever seen. Just nuts. So he's up there too. But like I said, there's a guy on Tillsonburg too that's pretty tough. I grew up with playing. He was on the Stony Creek Warrior team with me, Jeff Least. So he's another guy that, you get into, he can hold his own too. There's not too many guys in hockey that can't defend themselves or hold their own. It's a sport that you have to be accountable for. So they're all pretty tough.
Okay. Who is the best skilled player you've played with?
Ooh, honestly,
putting you on the spot now.
Yeah, that's a tough question. Like, if I go with like off the top of my head, and guys that like I've seen lately, like really like a couple of the fastest guys I've seen in a while is playing on Tavistock with me, Gatesy and Sodders. Both those boys are some of the quickest hockey players I've seen. Not the tallest boys by any means, but they definitely can wheel out there. Skill wise, I played with Sam Gagne when I was growing up. Who else? Jonathan Vegas, Steven Stamp. I played against a little bit of all of them.
There's a few guys that have gone pro.
Yeah, like always, there's a bunch of guys I played against in the national level. Them in minor, there's a reason they're in the national level. They always produce, they're consistent, right? So. Yeah, I think I played against a lot of big names.
A lot of those guys light you up pretty good.
Honestly, the only one that really was memorable for me that I was just like, holy shit, this guy's in a different class, was Stamkos. He played for the Markham Waxers, I believe, against me. And he put up like six goals himself. His line was like disgusting. Like it's like, I think they had like 13 goals against me, and they were 12 points through their first line. You know what I mean? So, he was definitely like one of those players to me when I played against that. I was just like, shit, like this guy can play hockey. again, saying that, it probably leads back to, like, he was in my head, and goalies a lot of mental. So some of that was probably my own doing at that 13. Yeah.
At that time, did you see him going to the NHL?
He's a hockey player, so.
Did you see him going to the NHL at that time?
Yeah, I did. I seen him going in the fact that he was that much ahead of our age class. You know what I mean? Like, it was bar none. Like, nobody can touch him out there. He's gone.
Yeah, I got to see him firsthand here, too, in Sarnia when he was drafted here and played here. Oh,
he's just got that good player. Natural born skill, right? He's the game before anybody else.
There was some other good guys that they had on that team, too, like Matt Martin and that, but Martin definitely protected him. Stamkos was on the shoulders before everybody. Di Benedetto.
They had a deep team.
Yeah. Don't think there's been one to match that recently. Maybe a couple, but nothing that solid. Did you have any offers to go to junior or anything? Junior A or tier two?
I did a stint. I was supposed to go to, I would almost say, I went there kind of deal. I moved out to Ajax when I was, this would have been the 16-year-old year I ended up in Dunville after. Went out there for 2 months, and there was a 16-year-old rule in place then. In junior, you're only allowed two of them. So basically, originally, I played a couple of games. We were going into the season. I think I had one or two shutouts in the preseason. I was going to be the backup, being 16, and they had another 16-year-old that was pretty solid on forward. And a guy named Jeff O'Neill actually got sent back from the O. I think it was Plymouth. Might have not been Jeff, but yeah, he got sent back, and it bumped me, and that's kind of how I ended up back in C. So that was kind of my extent of it, but in saying that, I was out there in Ajax. I think I lived out there for 2 months. It was a good time.
Were you drafted at all?
No draft. I was originally going to go to school, and then, once I said junior was done, I kind of went into my career and started to set some roots, have a family, and
Not even drafted out of midget or anything like that.
No, I missed the O draft. My team I was on, I was in the GTHL. I played for the Mississauga Rebels, AAA, obviously.
A lot of good kids coming out of there now.
Oh yeah, I think we had four or five drafted off our team. We were the 12th out of 14, so the majority of the players, from my draft period were coming out of the GTHL, and I only played 1 year of GTHL hockey, being my minor midget, but it was probably some of the best hockey I played, right up there with my junior, just because of the atmosphere and the competitiveness.
You've played with some guys in the O and everything. Any crazy stories with guys that have big names that people would know, or just hear any stories like that?
Honestly, nothing too much like that. One of my buddies, Ethan Azzotto, he played on Vancouver. I want to say it was probably, time now, maybe 6-7 years ago now. So he's a funny cat. He got an injury there in preseason, collected his NHL contract, and hung out with me all year that year. But nothing too crazy. A lot of my guys, the ones that did make it and I still talk to, they're hard workers and they're straight to the book kind of deal. So
put the nose down.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for being the first guest we've had on the Sauce and Biscuits podcast. Hopefully we'll be able to get you on some more consistency.
Joining in as a
co-host.
Yep. I'm glad that we got this all up and running, and we were able to make the schedules match. We'll have to, hopefully the next time I come on, that we can get Brad on here as well. I know he's a big part of Sauce and Biscuits.
He is.
It was a pleasure of mine, and I'm glad that...
Thanks, bud. Definitely be hitting you up again.
Perfect. Thanks, Brett.
I might chip out, man. I got this, yeah.